Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, September 19th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We hope everyone had a good weekend. Mm-hmm. We're tearing it a bit to get back here today. We have a very special guest on with us. So without further ado, what I'd like to do is start off by saying anyone who watches this show knows that I approach government in a very conservative way, especially the federal government. And needless to say, there's a lot of so-called conservatives out there today that don't really quite fit that bill. Luckily, our guest today, Mr. John LeBoutillier, isn't one of these conservatives that's a Kool-Aid conservative mm-hmm. or someone that just carries water for the Republican Party. He started his career with on the Gerald Ford re-election campaign. He then graduated magna cum laude from Harvard University. He's a very prolific author of not only books and articles, too many that we could mention here today. And in 1980, he was elected to represent the state of New York in the 97th Congress in the House of Representatives. He's also very involved in POW and MIA affairs. And last but not least, he's the co-founder of the Clinton Anti-Library,
yeah.
which gives him a big A-plus in our book. So we'd like to welcome John LeBoutillier. How you doing, John?
I'm so happy to be on your wonderful show, and thanks for inviting me.
You currently write for Newsmax, too, don't you?
I do. I'm a regular for Newsmax.com.
Okay. Well, before we jump into it, John, tell everyone how they can find your website.
Well, they can either read me, because I write these columns, at Newsmax.com, which mm-hmm. is really one of the biggest conservative news sites in the country,
mm-hmm.
Growing incredibly, very successfully. Or I have my own site also, which is very simple, johnleboutt.com, J-O-H-N-L-E-B-O-U-T, johnleboutt.com.
Okay, and I just want to repeat that, at johnleboutt.com.
Right.
All right, very good. Well, John, we got a lot of questions today, and these are tough questions. So I'm going to start off with one of the toughest there is. And we've been researching 9/11 for over 4 years now, basically right from the start. And in this book right here that I'm holding up, 9/11 on Trial, we prove that the government's official version of how the World Trade Center collapsed isn't true. In other words, they say that it came down from the impact of the jetliners and also the jet fuel fires, where in this book we prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that that couldn't have happened that way, and instead it was a controlled demolition. This has been confirmed by many people, including a former Bush cabinet member named Morgan Reynolds. And my question to you is, I'm not asking if you believe this or not. I'm asking is, if somebody put this information in your lap and proved that the World Trade Centers came down not from 19 Arab hijackers, but from an inside job by a cabal within our own government, how would you react to that?
Well, I would like to say I'd be shocked, but I wouldn't be shocked, because I've come to see as life has gone on that I put nothing beyond the imagination when it comes to the evils of governments anywhere, including here. So I don't know that I believe this theory, but I don't rule it out either.
Yeah.
The whole thing, John.
I was not in the cabinet. He was a sub-cabinet official, but
yeah.
The whole thing, John, is that we use no conspiracy theory to disprove the government Swiss cheese story. We use physics, like Isaac Newton and Galileo's laws, and no conspiracy theory. So considering that I emailed Newsmax several months ago, and I emailed Christopher Ruddy, and we've gotten a hold of Mike Gallagher, who also writes for Newsmax, and we've gotten no response except from Gallagher, who told us that this information's not on the playlist. We're asking you directly, would you take a look at it?
Oh, of course I would, and I have heard about it. It's mm-hmm. been out in the news when that sub-cabinet official went public recently and said, you know, that this was a controlled explosion.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the press. I did read it. I don't rule it out.
Okay.
I don't know that it's true, but I'd look at it. Why wouldn't look at it?
And see, that's why we like John, because most of these other conservatives won't even respond or address this issue. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a copy of this book in and let you take a look at it, and, you know, we'll take it from there. Now, a lot of conservatives are surprised by the recent, it seems like, joining at the hip of Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. But I contend that these guys have been on the same team and they've been working together for the last 25 years or so at least. And one of the best examples why is all the drug running that was taking place out in MENA, Arkansas, uh-huh, during the 1980s that led right back to the vice president office of George Bush Sr. and while Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas. So considering that Hillary is almost a shoe-in to run for the election in 2008, do you think there's any type of arrangement between the Bush and Clinton family to get Hillary into the White House?
I don't rule it out. I think that their friendship is it's so strong, the evidence that these two families are helping each other out, mm-hmm, politically, and that they go back. I think it goes back. I think both Bill Clinton and the first George Bush were in their own careers of working for the CIA.
Right. Oh, I agree.
I think Clinton worked for him when he was at Oxford.
Yep.
Reporting on the anti-war movement, and then he went to Moscow and Czechoslovakia purporting to be a left-winger, and I think he probably had access over there and reported back to the CIA. And I know that the first George Bush was a CIA agent back in the 50s, mm-hmm, early 60s, before he ever ran for office.
And, right. And he was also director of the CIA.
He was in on all sorts of stuff. He's,
yeah,
even mentioned in the Warren Commission.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the assassination of President Kennedy.
Yeah.
And what I've always been worried about, and all of us should worry about it, is the possibility that the CIA actively behind the scenes involves themselves in our campaigns, in our elections.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and tries to get their people into the White House, because when they have a president that they control, then they control the budget, they control how much CIA funding is secret and how much there is. And in other words, we may have a secret government within our government. Mm-hmm. And I think that may have been the case with both Bush and Clinton.
Yep.
And this Bush also.
We agree. You've been described as having a passionate hatred for the Clintons, and I guess that we have been described that way too. You're one of the chief architects of the Counter Clinton Library. So tell people what the purpose of this is, and if you've had any reaction from the Clintons themselves. I think it's a great idea.
So do I.
Well, Lisa and Victor, the Counter Clinton Library is our dream, and it hasn't happened yet, but we're out raising money to try to build a small library down the street in Little Rock, mm-hmm, from the real Clinton Presidential Library. And in our library, we are going to correct the lies, distortions, and exaggerations of both Clintons about their time in public life, both in the White House and before and after. Because those two people couldn't tell the truth, even if the truth helped them.
That's right.
That's so true.
And so the Counter Clinton Library, using their own words against them, their own facts, video, audio, and a little bit of humor, is going to be there to correct the truth.
Well, if there's anything we can do here at Wing TV, we would be more than honored.
No kidding.
Okay, now, next big question, abortion. We know that Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, and for 25 years or so, the Republicans said, well, if we were just in charge of things, we would get this on the table and outlaw abortion, but we can't do anything because the Democrats are in the White House or the Democrats run Congress. Well, now the Republicans are in charge of everything, and George Bush has been in office for over 4.5 years now, yet nothing has been done. Nothing's been laid on the table. Do you think George Bush or these other conservatives are ever going to lay it on the table?
Well, they have a little bit now. First of all, let's go back. It wasn't passed, Victor. It was a court decision by the Supreme Court in January of 73, legitimizing the contention that a woman has a right to privacy in which she can have a legal abortion. So that was done by the Supreme Court.
Right.
Now, under this Congress and this president, they have at least tightened up various restrictions on abortion, like third trimester abortion.
Right, partial birth, yeah.
On a national level, been made illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to tighten up parental notification for minors.
But will it ever
go? They have not. Now, I don't know why. I guess they don't have the votes to outlaw abortion all the way if they really wanted to. Yeah. I don't know that they really want to. Yeah.
But, I mean, many conservatives, especially in the church, were very adamant that if they helped George Bush get reelected, that this was one of the things that should be on the front burner, and it seems like it's not yet again.
Right. Well, it never is with any of these so-called conservatives, including my man, Ronnie Reagan. He was always pro-choice when he was governor.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became pro-life to get to be the Republican nominee in 1980. And then as governor, as president, he talked a good game about abortion,
right,
but never pushed hard on the government to do, on the Congress to do anything about it.
Exactly.
I think that it's going to be in the courts. That's where it's going to be decided.
John, you've cited some similarities between the first Bush and Bush the second. Both have had rotten economies. Both are seen as too much in favor of the rich. Both have had a Middle East war that was never finished. Both had early astronomical poll ratings that and watched those decline. So considering that now, we've seen no proof evidencing weapons of mass destruction. We've seen no proof of Saddam's ties to Osama. We've seen no proof of Osama's ties to 9/11. And the world is violently opposed to this war. What do you think is going to be the result of 8 years of W? And who's really running this administration?
Well, I think the 8 years of W, my guess will be, is going to go down in history as a failed presidency. Usually failed presidencies are one-termers, like Jimmy Carter,
mm-hmm,
and the first Bush.
Right.
LBJ was sort of a flop, even though he did get elected in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that George W. Bush is in a situation of his own making now where he can't get out of it. I think between Iraq, which is a total disaster,
yeah,
and Hurricane Katrina and the sudden decision that we're just going to spend money willy-nilly to fix it, he has no place to go. And the gas prices, of course,
yeah,
eating away at people. I think that he's headed straight down.
Yeah, and that's
he's
what scares
end up
us.
As a joke for president.
Yeah, and that's what scares us with Hillary looming in 2008.
Uh-huh.
Now, many conservatives are also outraged about the fiscal irresponsibility of this administration. And, I mean, I think anyone would admit that they spend like a drunken sailor. Even worse, this is hard to say, than the Democrats. And George Bush has even gone so far as he hasn't even vetoed one spending bill in nearly 5 years. What do you think the backlash is going to be about this monetary policy, this overspending?
Well, you know, in politics, economic bad decisions like the ones he's made to allow the spending and not veto this profligate Republican Congress, and I hate to say it, that our party, my party, is spending money worse than Democrats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's refused to veto it is bad, but the average American doesn't care about any of it until the economy goes sour.
That's right.
And when it's sour, then they will find things to blame it on. And they may blame it on deficits. They may blame it on spending. Who knows what they'll blame it on. But in reality, the spending is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he hasn't done anything to stop it. So we have the amazing realignment in America where the conservative Republicans are bad on economics, and the Clinton Democrats are the ones who balance the budget.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like a reverse world.
Yep.
I know you've been very involved in the POW-MIA issue, and I am involved in that too. In January 2001, you wrote an editorial for Newsmax in which you said 1,200 POWs have been relegated to serving as slaves to Hanoi and sacrificial lambs for the preservation of political careers back here in Washington. Now, this administration, John, and previous ones seem content to just address this as a non-issue or just hand us a bunch of rhetoric. Shouldn't this be one of our top priorities as a nation to bring our men home instead of leaving them on enemy soil?
Well, of course it should. And
what are they doing?
Well, they're doing nothing now. They're doing more than nothing. They have this administration and his father, the first George Bush, going back to his days as head of the CIA, have deliberately covered up the truth about the POWs being left behind alive in captivity. And they've covered it up for 30 years. And my dream is this thing blows open, some prisoners get out, we get them out somehow, and expose the truth. And in the process, what will happen in America, I think, is the American people will be so disgusted that their own government would leave these heroes, these soldiers, these pilots, these officers, these wonderful infantrymen behind and lie about it.
It's not just for
Vietnam. We're going to throw everybody in the government out, Republican and Democrat. They all ought to get heaved out.
Right.
And we ought to start all over again. We couldn't do any worse.
Oh, what a great idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, one of our favorite authors here, Michael Collins Piper, he and others have said that, especially in this administration, our foreign policy has been taken over by the interests of Israel. And if we look at the aims of groups such as the neocons, the PNAC, AIPAC, the AEI, the American Enterprise Institute, we see that they're very much pro-Zionist oriented. What are your thoughts, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, John, but what are your thoughts about Israel or any nation coming in and co-opting our country's foreign policy?
Well, I don't think they do co-opt it. I think they're in a unique situation. They have a lot of Jews in America who are very loyal to America, but they're also loyal to Israel. And Israel is a friend of the United States in a region that is a sump of the worst people on the planet. Israel is surrounded by enemies of the United States and enemies of Israel.
I guess we would have to disagree on that.
We don't believe Israel is a friend of the United States.
Yeah. Okay, well, everybody has their own opinion. But, I mean, I think that the history of the last 50 years is, I don't really think that Israel has hurt this country.
Israel deliberately attacked our Navy ship in 1967.
Well, that was true, but that's one incident. And there have been other attacks by other countries that have been mistakes, too.
Well, I think this was deliberate. It wasn't a mistake.
It wasn't an act of the government against the United States on purpose to hurt us.
Our government covered it up.
Yes, they did. They did cover it up. But I, in the end, I don't think that the two countries are really at odds over most things. Even this government in Israel is in favor of creating a Palestinian state, something that 20 years ago was unheard of.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm not so convinced of that, but go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, you've written about leading a life of purpose and listening to conscience, and that really resonated with me because we talk a lot about that on our show. Considering we find ourselves now entrenched in what seems to be perpetual, unending war, and we can't get the mainstream media to cover a lot of these issues that alternative media does, for instance, 9/11 and the Bush and Clinton crime families and so forth. What has happened to the conscience in this nation, and do the people have a buffer between the American people and government anymore? I mean, we have no watchdog in the media, it seems like.
Well, but Lisa, here's the thing that's interesting. We suddenly look at the map of America, and you have the red states and the blue states, right?
Uh-huh.
In the blue states, the Democratic states, I think there, the mainstream media, if you want to call it mainstream, so-called mainstream media, is the liberal media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CBS, NBC, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
In the red states, the media is more Rush Limbaugh, Fox News Channel, Drudge Report, Newsmax, places like that, the talk radio. And I think what happens is, the media is no longer the conscience of the country, and thank God it's not. And people can have their own conscience and think what they choose to think, not what they're told to think by Dan Rather every night at 6:30.
Yeah.
And that's why the country is so divided now, is some people can think for themselves, and others are so locked in to this left-wing garbage, they can't yet wake up and smell the coffee.
But if people aren't given accurate information, truthful information, how can they think for themselves and have it be based on anything real?
Plus, you know, there's nobody here. There's no power organization anymore that's calling the government on so many discrepancies, like 9/11. Well, I mean, we could talk literally for 8 or 10 or 12 hours about all the discrepancies about the government's official 9/11 story, but nobody is questioning them.
On that, I would agree with you. And I guess because there grew out of 9/11 this patina of nonpartisanship where no one wants to attack the government on any of it.
Yeah.
So we can't, I mean, you look at the way the media has been dumping on Bush over Katrina. They feel they can do that without hurting themselves. But they never attacked Bush on 9/11, and they only recently started to attack Bush on Iraq, because when it's national security and our soldiers and all that, it's sort of, no one wants to get back into that Vietnam mode.
Right.
The media attacks the White House.
Yeah, but it also seems like they're paving the way for Hillary by doing that.
Well, but, you know, Fox News Channel, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, they don't want to pave the way for Hillary. They, I think you're right, they're inadvertently paving the way for Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they don't want to, but by not attacking Bush, by letting him continue on and make these mistakes, they are driving the American public towards Hillary in 2008, although I personally think there's a chance of a third-party candidate that year that
I'm going to ask you about that in 1 minute, but real quickly, you said that the Bush family, both senior and junior, are what you'd call Rockefeller Republicans, in that they like big government and they like federal power for power's sake. Where do real conservatives stand on this seeming contradiction?
Well, Victor, real conservatives could not be happy. Public conservatives, ones that we read or listen to or hear on the news, they've all been bought off by the Bush machine. I mean, they're all supporting Bush. I cannot understand how they all support an administration that is anti-conservative.
Right, right.
I mean, it's not conservative to invade other countries who haven't attacked us, to deplete the military, to run up the deficits we talked about a minute ago, to expand federal power, create this more bureaucracy, to increase the Department of Education by 30%. I'm baffled. You know, I think they've all been bought off.
Yeah.
If Hillary should run in 2008, who do you think or who do you predict would run against her?
In a Democratic or Republican
Republican.
Party?
Republican.
Yeah, because I figure she has the Democratic nomination.
Yeah.
So we know there's about a dozen Republicans talking about running. And as of today, not one of them has caught anybody's imagination.
I know. We've noticed that, too.
In fact, it's the opposite. I find most people can't stand them. They don't want Frist. They don't want...
Newt?
Oh, God, not Newt.
Yeah, not Newt, for sure.
George Allen. You know, I mean, I think a bunch of senators want to run, and most of them are a bore.
Yeah.
But we have 2.5 years to go till the primaries, and... Yeah. The reason it's different this year is normally the Republican Party always has the next candidate lined up.
Yeah, in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's usually the previous vice president or the present vice president.
Yeah.
Now, if Cheney was going to run, he could get the nomination in 2008.
He's but he hated too.
But the machine of the party and the Bush machine behind him, all the mechanical stuff, the money, all of it. But he's made it clear he's not running. And so the thing is completely wide open, and the Democrats are the ones that basically have already picked their nominee.
Yeah, and they got their machine going. Real quickly, before I ask you about the third-party candidates, give your website address one more time, John.
It's www.newsmax.com or www.johnlebout.com.
All right, great. Now, I think, at least personally, that the two-party system as it is today is crippling the United States and restricting any progress that we can make. You've mentioned third-party candidates, and you've written about it. What would it take for a third-party candidate to actually break through and be viable in 2008?
And get the media to pay attention to them.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of ifs, you know. And I don't say third-party. I say third candidate.
Okay.
The party is one thing where you have candidates running for all the offices down below.
Yeah.
But I do think the time is coming when you'll have a Republican and a Democratic nominee, and there could be another guy, I'll just say a guy, it could be a woman, but probably a man, who could run as an independent, and he, if it was just right, if the mood of the country is where I think it's headed, which is total disgust with the political system,
yeah,
disgust with the leadership and the establishment of both parties, if cooperation that cut across both parties
yep.
is very strong, and the establishment won't even talk about that issue.
Hmm. Right.
If this guy grabbed a couple issues like that and was good at doing it on TV, I think he could be raise a ton of money, get on the ballot, get in those debates. I think the media, Lisa, will give this guy coverage if he has a strong push behind him from a lot of, you know, regular Americans.
Yeah.
I think they would be an exciting story.
Oh, so do we.
Well,
John,
too.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
Very much.
We wish there were more writers out there that aren't afraid to step to the plate and come on these kind of shows that aren't just, you know, just carrying water, because we do ask some hard questions, and we respect you for coming on here.
You're a great writer, John. You're a great writer.
So just thank you so much.
Thanks, and send me that stuff. I want to read it.
I'll put it in the mail today, okay?
Great.
Hey, have a good night, John. Thanks.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Hope everyone keeps tuning in, because it's for you that we're doing this. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you tomorrow.